Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Tonight, we're going to somewhere where I need to explain before I give you the title of tonight's message. Last weekend, I made a statement about worship. It's a bold and blunt statement, but it's a good statement. I said, in order for us to understand worship, we're going to have to understand the different levels of worship. And I don't know exactly what the levels are inside of you or me or in anyone's heart, because I'm not here to judge that. But there are different areas and expressions of worship to God. And I made this statement. I said, true worship in the Spirit is not just coming into a church service. Remember this on Sunday morning or Sabbath morning, that singing a song, it's not a beat, it's not just the music, it's not rhythm, it's not harmony, it's not when we come together. That's a worship practice, but it's not the worship that God's looking for. And I said, a lot of people stop right at that level of worship, and that's fine, but what if there was more for each and every one of us to worship God in a greater way? And then I came along and I made this statement. A lot of churches go beyond music and they go with a sound from that is an utterance from the inside of us. You know, that's called singing in tongues and prophesying and things such as that. And that's a form of worship in the Spirit also. And I think that's wonderful. I'm not here to criticize or judge or condemn or anything such as that. I think it's wonderful. Go for it. But I think the greatest worship, I made this statement last week and I still stand by it, that the greatest worship you and I could learn to enter into is when we worship God with our lifestyle. That every day it becomes a worship to the Lord. That I do what He wants me to do is a worship to Him. When I fulfill what He wants me to fulfill instead of fulfilling what I feel, what I think, but I live my life out His way, then I'm now worshiping Him with my life expression that comes from my heart. And it's not only a heart from passion and expression of my heart, but it's also in the Spirit, because I am now worshiping God on a different level than sound, or than a beat, or than an utterance. But I'm worshiping God with an expression of who I am. And I believe that God is looking for a bunch of believers that believe Him so much that we worship God not just with a sound or a beat or an utterance or a hymn, or not just worship with a song or a, you know, expression like that, but we worship God by the way we live, the way we love, the way we act, the way we believe, the way we're filled, the way we talk. We live out this love expression of worship. That's why tonight, and I want to show it to you in Scripture, a little bit deeper revelation on the subject, being an instrument of worship is what we're calling this. I don't know about you, but I would love to itself be an instrument of worship. I hear our musicians play as the psalmists sing, and musicians play the instruments, and there's instruments all through Scripture. But the greatest instrument that sounds to God in heaven is the heartbeat of someone like you, that has a passion for Him and says, I'm going to live my life not according to what the world says or how I feel or how I think, but I'm going to live my life according to the things of God. And I don't know that there's a greater or deeper worship than worshiping every day with your life. Let me show you that in Scripture, if I may. It's a funny little verse, and it's kind of a hard verse to digest, but it's a good one. Third chapter of Colossians, as Paul writes to the church of Colossae. When he writes to the church at Colossae, he's writing this text. And as I've said to you a million times, it's his, Paul's writing as a human. But the inspiration behind the words is, if you'll know, is the Holy Spirit. So it's really God making a statement. Before I read the verse, I want to tell you something. Again, keep in mind this, that God would never tell you to do something you can't do. He is not a trickster. He's not someone in heaven that's out there to plot to make you look like a fool. He's not going to tell you something that makes you feel like a fool because you can't complete it. In fact, when He makes a statement, He's making a statement because He knows that He can back it with the power of the Holy Spirit. If you and I will allow the Spirit of God on the inside of us to fulfill the Word of God that's in us. God wants us to do something. I don't know how to do it. I don't have the power to do it. But the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me will energize me and guide me and guard me and protect me and build me in order to get the job done. And so all of a sudden, God not only tells you what to do, but provides for all of us how to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. This verse is a powerful verse. Let's take a look at it in Colossians. And let's become those instruments of worship day in and day out. Men on your job, women on your job, in your home, washing dishes, instruments of worship. Instruments of worship, if you will, in raising your children. Instruments of worship while you're driving your car in a freeway and it's bumper to bumper. Instruments of worship and you stand an hour and 45 minutes in a line at Disneyland. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? With 8 grandkids around you pulling on your pants. Instruments of worship in every area of our life. Listen to what the Word of God says. The 17th verse of the 3rd chapter of Colossians says this. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You know, that's a verse that is so powerful, but it's so shocking. Now, the very first thing he says, these words, and whatever. Do you know what the word whatever means? It means whatever. Whatever means whatever. Whatever means whatever. That means anything, everything, whatever you're going to do. That means not just some things, not just the things you can do. Whatever. You do in word or deed. The word indeed means in the expressions of your mouth and the actions of your life. Is there any more than the words of your mouth and the expressions of your life? I don't know if anything more. In other words, he just said, whatever you do, whenever you can do anything. That's a powerful statement. Whatever you do when you can do something, whether you're talking or expressing or doing something, fulfilling something, whatever it is. And then he says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever stop and thought about it? Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, man. You know, some of you guys lighten up joints every now and then. Do it all in the Lord, I'm doing this to you. I want you to know something that don't fit, dude. Watching pornography. Oh, Lord, I'm doing this to you. It doesn't fit. Are you following me? You know, getting angry doesn't fit. Cussing someone out doesn't fit. Flipping them off doesn't fit. Shooting something doesn't fit. Do everything. That means everything. And all of a sudden, we come to a place where we say, well, I can do some things, but I haven't learned how to do everything. And until we learn to have an attitude that we can do whatever we do in word or deed, and listen to this, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What? Doing what? Giving thanks. In other words, my expressions, whether they be verbal or physical, are doing something. They ought to be giving thanks to God. And that's a form of praise, and now I become a worship to God in everything. You know, the problem with all of that is you're not going to do it all the time. And you could sit there with your head down and your eyes closed staring at the guy in front of you right now. Because we're all on the same page. There's not everything we do unto the Lord. Sometimes we just get frustrated and we got to repent. Sometimes we do lousy things, we got to repent. But at least there ought to be an attitude inside of us that says, this verse, I want to learn and I want to become the person that God wants me to be. And I want to learn how to do that verse. I mean, I love God enough that I want to be that worship for Him. I love God enough, and I know you do too, that you want to make the change, you just don't know how to do it. And when this verse becomes alive and all of a sudden, you know, you're thinking about it and you're giving it some consideration and you stop, you think about, man, not everything I do, word or deed, do I give God thanks and it's on to Him for praise. We just don't do it. There's no one in here that does that. Not even Pastor Jim, maybe Pastor Deborah. But I don't think so. And I know her better than anybody, you know what I'm saying? And so guess what? All of us are in the same boat. We're learning how to do this. That's why it's such a cool verse, because we're learning together. And while we're learning how to become that worship to God all the time, with our lifestyle and our life desires and our life's actions and our life's words, we love each other and we put up with each other and we tolerate each other and we care about each other. We don't condemn, we don't judge, we don't criticize because someone blows it. You know why? Because we all blow it. If we didn't all blow it, then there'd be no reason for 1 John 1:9 that says, you know, confess your faults and repent, and he'll forgive you and cleanse you of your sins. So all of a sudden, here's this verse coming, whatsoever. Whatsoever. I wish you just said a few things. Are the things that I told you? Are those things that you might be able to think about? But whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks unto the God the Father through him. Those capital word H there, capital letter on the word him, meaning Jesus, through him Jesus. So how in the world do you do that? How do you and I become that worship instrument to God? How do I do this day in and day out? I'm going to give you three T's that God gave me. T's is a funny little word, but it's just easy to remember this way. Three T's. Number one, on how to be the instrument of worship. Are you ready? Here it is, number one. You got to, listen to this, you got to try. If you don't put an effort in, nothing will ever happen. You know what I'm saying? Everything that you've ever accomplished in your life, you tried somewhere to do it. In other words, if you guys learned how to pour concrete, you had to learn how to pour concrete. You poured it bad before you learned how to pour concrete. You finally learned how to pour concrete. You learn how to do things by trying things. And if you don't try, put an effort in, nothing's going to happen. I've said it a million times. I'll say it a million more times. There's absolutely no one. There's no, you know, fairy dust falling from heaven that's going to help you to do it until you get in there and try. And I love the word try because you've got to keep on trying. You know why? Because you'll screw up. In other words, I'll be a worship to God one moment. Here comes a problem. And all of a sudden, I'm the worship of the devil. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And that's okay because I know that God's washing me and cleansing me. He's not finished with me yet. He's building me, encouraging me, and directing me the right way. And if I didn't know how to fail, I'll never know how to be successful. When I become successful, I'm so excited because guess what? He taught me in my failure how to become successful. He takes my failures and makes them something that's a learning program for me. Wow. Isn't God good? So you got to try, mess up, and keep on trying. But if you try and say to yourself, I just give up, I can't do it, you'll never do it. Let me make a comment to you, and this is a really great comment. I want you to maybe mark it down. You'll find in Scripture a truth, and it seems very evident to me. There seems to be a great blessing where there is great effort. If there is not great effort, there is not usually a great blessing. In other words, somebody had to put something in greatly in order to get something out. And all of us have this mentality, we want to put a little in and get a lot out. God's not a slot machine where you put a nickel in and get $2,500 back. Doesn't work that way. God is a God that says, you put in what you put in, you what? Sow, you get out. What a man sows, he'll reap. And if you don't put in an effort, you're not going to get anything out. So we've got to try and keep on trying to be this lifestyle of worship. When you screw up, you repent. When you screw up, you run to church. You don't hide from church because you feel guilty. Have you ever screwed up and you said, I feel like a hypocrite. I can't go to church because I don't want to, you know, I don't want God. I don't want God to see me and say, he already saw you screw up. And you staying out of the place that'll get you right is just double stupid. But the devil thinks we're double stupid, so he lays this trip on you. You just screwed up. You can't be a hypocrite and go to church until you somewhat get your act together. Let me tell you something. The church is a place where when we don't have our act together, we come here to learn how to get our act together. And we love each other while we learn. A lot of people come to church oftentimes. People say, you can't come to church looking like that. Oh, yeah, you can. As long as you got clothes on, man, you got to come. You're naked, we're throwing you out. And the only reason we're throwing you out because it looks ugly. You know, this is what this is all about. This is about us learning how to be what God's called us to be. If someone doesn't teach us how to be it, someone doesn't work with us, someone doesn't encourage us, someone doesn't hang in there with us and love us through the screw-ups and encourage us to keep on trying, because eventually you're going to try and win. Because the more effort you put, the bigger the blessing's going to be. You know, is anybody listening? In fact, listen to the word of God in Luke. It's kind of a cool little verse. God reminded me of this. Just go to Luke, the fifth chapter. Let's take a look at Luke, the fifth chapter, verse number one. In Luke, the fifth chapter, here we find Jesus. He's coming along. He sees these guys and their boats are empty. You know the story, but let me read it to you. Maybe you've never seen it in this light before. So let's look at it together. We're talking about try and keep on trying. If you don't put in some kind of great effort, you're never going to get any great rewards. Verse number five, and so it was that the multitude pressed about him to hear the words of God. And he stood by the lake at Gennesaret. That means Galilee. And he saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out and were washing their nets. In other words, it's over with. They're now cleaning their nets. It's a done deal. They've been fishing a long time. There, you know, they work hard. In those days, you got to understand, fishing was done at night. So they worked all night long, and now whatever it is they caught, fine. But now it's, you got to clean the nets. Cleaning the nets wasn't like just hanging your pole up and washing off your net. You know, you got these giant nets that you threw all out. You got to make sure they're okay and everything's great. And you clean them. It's a lot of work. You've been up all night long fishing. Now watch this. In verse number three, then he got into one of the boats. That's a little presumptuous, don't you think? If I got in someone's boat, first thing they do is slap me down. Thinking I was stealing the boat, but Jesus knows just what to do. Let me tell you something. Let him get into your boat. He knows how to get in. Some of you need to let him in your boat instead of trying to stop him. You know, today you get in someone's boat, they're going to stop you everywhere you go. But I want you to know something. We're so mindful of stopping people from doing things that when Jesus wants to do something, we stop him all the time. Let him get into your boat. You want Jesus in your boat. Someone needs to tell you to let him in your boat. Stop being so standoffish and so dictatorial and so judgmental that you don't let Jesus in your boat. Here he is. He sees these guys' boat. He just gets in their boat. They don't yell, hey, get out of my boat, you stupid idiot. They're smart enough to let Jesus in the boat. Some of you want the blessings of God, you got to let him in. So he gets in one of the boats, in which was Simon's, don't you know it? That, by the way, that's Peter. And he asked him, put out a little from the land, and he sat down and he taught the multitude from the boat. And he stopped speaking and he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Right there, I would have said, hey, listen, you are a rabbi. You're a teacher. We all love you. People follow you all the time. But you don't know anything about fishing, dude. Because listen to what Simon says. He says these words. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled, that means really worked hard, all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. Oh, man, is that not a great effort? Remember, he just washed them. Didn't catch anything. He's exhausted all night long. It's a great effort. Great efforts bring great what? Blessings. You got to try. And he comes along and he says, and when he had done this, he caught a great, number six, verse number six, listen to this, a great number of fish, and their nets were breaking. There were so many fish. That's pretty cool to catch fish in the daytime. And then to catch that numbers. It happens when someone puts in a great effort. Listen to me. Let Jesus in your boat. And let me tell you something else. Get ready to make a big effort towards the things he wants you to do. At least try. Amen. Simon Peter went out and he tried. Most people give up because it doesn't seem logical. Can I tell you something? There is nothing logical about Jesus. That's what makes him so wonderful. He is not natural. He is supernatural. But we're expecting him to act natural or something that we can figure out. I'm glad I can't figure out God. If I could figure out God, then God would only operate on my level. Thank God God operates on his level. It's something I can't figure out. But I do have to do something. I have to try to put in that effort. Is anybody listening? First letter T was try. The second letter, I like this. Here it is. We're talking about how to be an instrument of worship. You got to think. And when I mean think, you got to think about things of the past. You got to start remembering all the stuff God's done for you. Stop thinking in today's terms and start remembering what God did for you before. And I've also got to think about this verse. The verse that God said for me to do is my life's expression ought to be a worship to God in everything that I do. Not some things. I can do that. God told me I can. And if I just let the verse come and go and never think about it, never remember that I can do it, then I'll not do it. So I've got to think. I have got to remember. Not only, listen, we have a hard time remembering the victories of the past, let alone things that we were just taught on a Wednesday night. You know what I'm saying? Here's this verse that comes up and says, in everything, whatever you do, do it all of it unto the Lord. So you can give him the praise and give him the glory. Worship him with whatever you do. We'll forget that right off the bat if we don't remember that verse. Your job is to remember the verse. When you drive your car and you feel like doing something other than you cannot give God thanks for, then you got to remember the verse. And so all of us in every one of our lives have got to remember things. I like what it says in Deuteronomy 4, chapter verse number 9. Just pop it up on the overhead. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself. Here God tells us to diligently keep ourselves. I have got a verse put before me tonight in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse number 17. It says, whatsoever I do, I should do it all unto the Lord, whether it be in word or deed. And if I don't remember that God gave me that commandment, then I will forget it when it's something for me to do. And that's why we got to think. And he says this, diligently keep yourself. I can't keep you. You got to keep yourself. And then he comes along, at least you forget the things which your eyes have seen. You know, so easy to come into the house of God and see a miracle that you just saw tonight, the Spirit of God. Someone come in here and say, wow, man, I didn't hear tongues and interpretation. Must not be the Holy Spirit in here. Hello, grow up. This is not just about tongues and interpretation and we walk out of here and we're all brain dead. This is about the Spirit of God winning souls, and God's right before your eyes. Physically, you see it before your own very eyes. Sometimes we forget that. We walk away on Monday, Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. We forgot about what God did on Sunday. And if God did it on Sunday right before our eyes, how much more does he want to do with you on your work, in your job, in your business, in your home, with your marriage? God's in this. And we can't forget the things which our eyes have seen. Lisa, depart from your heart all the days of your life. And then he goes on and tells them to teach them to your kids, your grandkids. Whew. Sometimes we have a tendency to forget. We got to teach this to ourselves and teach it to our kids, teach it to our grandkids. And guess what, guys? Tonight, when you hear that verse, that's a great verse about how to take your life and worship God with it. But if you don't think about it, it won't work. So number one, you got to try and keep on trying. Number two, you got to think and remember. Number three, last one for tonight, you got to trust. I tell you, when you start to walk in the things of God, you better be prepared to trust God. Because everything you ever do that you do to the Lord, you will be challenged. Listen to me. Let me say it again. Everything that you do to the Lord, you will be challenged. And the reason you're challenged is to make sure you're really doing it to God, not just doing it to satisfy yourself. And so you do something right and you get slapped. Anybody ever done something good and get bombed out for it? And you said, what's that all about? Well, guess what? Join the club. All through Scripture, people do the right thing, get the wrong results, but guess what? At the end, we all win. Guess what? God comes through. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and called according to his purpose. Guess what? In other words, all things means all things. That means no matter what happens to me, even though it doesn't fit what I think, what I like, what I feel, I want you to know something. All things work together for the good. I got good coming my way and are called according to his purpose. Oh, that's good news. And I got to trust God when I'm stepping out into that verse and starting to do all things unto praise. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to love my kids. I'm going to love my boss. I'm going to love my job. I'm going to love who God made in me. I'm going to love him. I'm going to love my church. I'm going to love this. I'm going to walk in what God wants for me. Let me tell you something. You better start learning to trust God, because all of hell will come against you. I got good news about hell coming against you. Can I tell you something? Here's the good news. Hell doesn't have the right to keep coming against you. Most Christians don't understand this. Listen to me. When Paul was in the water after being sunk, he didn't stay there and say, well, this is just the way it's like being a Christian. I guess I'll just stay here in the water for the rest of my life. He got out of the water. Is anybody listening? You know, you'll find all through Scripture, you don't have to put up with that stuff. Yeah, you're going to get attacked. Don't freak out about it. But also there comes time. Let me tell you something. Jesus, you slap him on his cheek, he'll turn his cheek, keep slapping him and see what happens. You never see that, do you? Huh? Hello, and call down a legion of angels with flaming swords. I want you to know something. You know, there comes a time when it's enough. And you're going to get attacked when you do Colossians, the third chapter, verse number 17. And you better trust God. That what you're doing is right, no matter if the results you get temporarily are wrong, God's going to make it right and bless you for doing the right thing. Come on now. I like this verse in Psalms 37, verse number 5. Just pop it up on the overhead. Psalms 37, verse number 5 says it like this. It says, commit your ways to the Lord and trust also in, capital H, him, and he shall bring it to pass. But first you're going to have to commit your ways to him. Is that not perfect for verse 17 of the third chapter of Colossians? Listen to Proverbs 3 and 5. Pop it up on the overhead. Listen to this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In other words, your own understanding means you're going to get absolutely bombed. Somebody needs to tell you. They're going to come against you, try to stop you, hinder you. If the devil doesn't stop you, you're going to be like Jesus walking around changing the world you live in, and he's got to stop you from doing that. That's why you're under attack all the time, trying to keep you down. But listen, we're learning how to kick, bite, scratch, and believe God in trust and faith. And so we're not losers, we're winners, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We can overcome by the power of his might. We're more than conquerors, my Bible says. Guess what? We win. But you got to hang in there. Three T's to Colossians 3:17. One, you got to try and keep on trying. Is that great? You got to try and keep on what? Trying. Number two, starts with a T. Does anybody remember? What? What? Oh, come on. You got to think and remember all the time about where you're at. You got to put it together. Remember this. This is it. You got to remember the verse. So it'll go from you. You got to remember the commandment that God has for you. You got to remember the desire that God wants for you. He told you to do something. And how to do that? Remember some of the victories that you've had in the past. And number three, does anybody remember what that was? What? What? Trust. You got to trust God, because guess what? When you start doing the things of God, the devil hates your guts and he's going to come against you and try to stop you. But let him, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you win. Good news. Did I go 20 minutes? Oh, I didn't. 25. 30? 35? Did I do bad? Did I preach good? Yeah. Well, let's give the Holy Spirit a great big thank you then. Wow, how cool is that?
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.